For about 135 years now, a small timber frame building has cast its shadow over Cedar Creek in southwest Washington. Built by George Woodham and his two sons, the Redbird Mill, as it was called, used water power to mill grain for local farmers. Tour director and volunteer Tom Henrick was guiding a group of senior ladies through the historic site when Couve.com visited.
The mill was built here in 1876 by Mr. George Woodham, who was an itinerant miller who came here from Illinois. He came out the Oregon Trail as the Pacific Northwest was being opened up to homesteading. And he knew that people moving into this area were going to need a mill to mill their grain products into something useful, namely flour for their kitchen and feed for their animals.
Back in 1876, it was common for mills to be powered by a stream, and not just any stream. The best stream for a mill was one that had a year-round flow. Woodham found that stream, called Cedar Creek, in Washington State, near Woodland. Farmers would bring wagon loads of grain to the mill to be ground into flour, cornmeal, and animal feed. A dam was built for a mill pond. The pond fed water to the flume to supply the mill.
Right across the narrow part of the creek here, there used to be a dam. That dam formed a mill pond. That mill pond is what provided the water to run the mill. Now you see this big old box full of water that runs up the side of the hill here? That's what's called a flume. The original flume was only about 100 feet long going to the mill pond. And that flume is bringing the water down here and dumping it into a large wooden tub. It's directly under the floor here. You can see it through the grate. This is what's called a penstock. It's sort of like a silo that you have attached to a barn. It's 20 feet tall, 4 feet in diameter, and has about 8 tons of water in it. Way down at the bottom, under about 18 feet of water, is where the turbine lives. That turbine is what provides our mechanical energy to drive the mill.
One winter, the new dam was damaged by high water and debris. The cost of that damage, plus the meager profits Woodham was getting, forced his hand. He gave up in 1879 after only 3 years in operation. He took all of his equipment and moved to Centralia, about 60 miles to the north. For the first time, but not the last, the mill sat empty. As the years passed, the mill changed hands from one owner to the next. During that time, it became home for various businesses, a machine shop, a shingle mill, a grist mill again, and a blacksmith shop with an apartment in the attic.
Victor Roslin decided to retire in the early 1950s, at which time he sold the entire 12-acre parcel of land here to the Department of Fish and Wildlife. The only reason they wanted it was because of the stream, which is a major salmon breeding stream. If you look down there, you'll see a fish ladder. At the top of the fish ladder, they have a fish monitoring station.
The state fisheries department bought the building and acreage. That's when the dam was torn down. It marked the first time in the mill's history that water could not flow to the turbine. Rotting and practically falling into the creek, the old mill was in crisis. The Fort Vancouver Historical Society made the first attempt to rescue the mill. They had the building listed with the newly created National Register of Historic Places. Then they replaced the foundation and managed to stabilize the building. But without flowing water, it was still a building without a purpose. For many years, bad weather and vandals had their way with the building. That is, until a group of local residents decided to restore the old mill back to its original glory. They formed the Friends of the Cedar Creek Grist Mill in 1980 and set to work.
When our organization was formed in 1980, we had to decide whether to go back to the origins of being a grist mill or restore this as a machine shop. And the general consensus was to restore it as original as a grist mill. This entire end of the building was badly rotted and had to be replaced. All the timbers that you see on this east end of the building here were hand-hewn from trees that were donated to us. The construction identical to what had been in here originally. All these timbers were hand-hewn using broad axes and adzes, all mortise and tenon joints hand-cut with hammer and chisel, and all held together with hardwood pegs. None of the windows are original. They all had to be replaced. But they were also made by hand by one of our members in his wood shop. And even the glass, we went down to Portland and salvaged it from a building that was being dismantled down there.
The group wasn't content to just replace rotting floorboards and fit new windows. They wanted the mill to function as it had over 100 years ago. They had a lot of repairs to do. The turbine needed a major overhaul. The grist mill itself was broken, and there was still the problem of no running water coming to the building. The volunteers tackled one problem after another, replacing posts and beams, refitting worn turbine parts, and finally building a new flume.
What we had to do when we started working on the mill, we went to the state and said, hey, how are we going to get water in here? They said, you're not putting the dam back in. We said, okay, we can live with that. So we went and started checking up the stream bed here. We found that if we extended that flume to a point 650 feet upstream, the flume and the stream bed would come together at a common level. And at that point, the water would flow directly into the flume without the need of a dam and flow directly down to the mill.
Water flowed once again, the lifeblood of the mill, and they were milling grain again by 1989.
I'll be putting some grain into the green hopper on top of the machine. It comes out of a hole on the back of the hopper, drops into a metal pan called a shoe. That shoe shakes because it rubs against the flat spots on that shaft right there, drops it through the hole in the upper stone called the eye. It drops right in that little recess around the shaft in the lower stone called the cup, and then centrifugal force moves it out along the surface of those stones, along the furrows or grooves, and then it works its way up onto the flats or lands of the stone, and where it is milled and crushed between the two stones.
Today, the Cedar Creek Mill still stands where it always has, on a steep and rocky slope at the bottom of a narrow gorge, casting its shadow over the creek. The water flows now, and the turbine hums with new life. The mill spins and pours out flour and cornmeal. Suddenly, the passing of 135 years doesn't seem like such a long time. Part of our past lives again and reminds us of a different time. For Couve.com, I'm Evan Newman.